The hour of 10:15 having arrived, we'll call the tax committee meeting to order as soon as we have a quorum. The first bill up is House File 1039. I will move House File 1039, and as you know, we do not officially have a quorum yet, so I would guess I'll be moving that as soon as we do have a quorum for Representative Seltzer. So, Representative Seltzer, you can please join us. So, Representative Seltzer, when we do have a quorum, I'll be moving your bill. Are there any amendments? I don't see any amendments. So,
no, Mr. Chair, there are no amendments.
Okay, so if you could please present your bill. I believe we have one person that wishes to testify, Mr. Scott Nelson, but we'll go with your introduction first, and we'll go on any witnesses. Before we do, though, is there anyone from the audience that wishes to testify on behalf of or with concerns thereof on this bill? Does the department wish to make comments? Okay. Okay, so please tell us about your bill, Representative Seltzer.
Thank you, Chair Davids and members, for allowing me to bring this bill before you today. As you are well aware, in 2014, our legislature provided some much-needed tax relief to many hard-working Minnesotans. And this bill that we have before us today continues in that spirit of tax relief for all Minnesotans, many of them family farmers and small business people, job creators who have and continue to contribute substantially to Minnesota's robust economy. I personally have heard from a number of constituents, including those with small businesses and some who have rural roots and have family farms in their families, who feel that they were a little bit blindsided. They thought the gift tax had been repealed, and then when mom and dad died, they found out actually there still was a tax attached to that. So this bill allows folks the opportunity to plan and also gives a break to those people. Many of them, as I have mentioned, who are small business owners and family farmers, who felt they didn't have sufficient warning and time and knowledge to plan when the bill was enacted on June 30th, 2013. This bill does not eliminate the tax, but instead delays the imposition of the estate tax on taxable gifts made after June 30th to gifts made after June 30th, 2016, giving the people the opportunity, as I mentioned, to do some planning. And it does provide tax relief for all, also for those who have already paid the tax. And here with me today, as you mentioned, Mr. Chair, is Mr. Scott Nelson, so I could take questions now or after Mr. Nelson gives his testimony.
Thank you, Representative. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm Scott Nelson. I'm with the law firm of Helmuth & Johnson, a trust and estate lawyer, also licensed as a CPA and here representing the Minnesota Society of CPAs. I don't have a lot of additional comment to what Representative Seltzer has already said. I think the overview for me in working with my clients again is that our message that you know we have sent to your constituents is that we have no gift tax in Minnesota, that we do basically with the current legislation bring back any large gifts that they've made within 3 years of their date of death. And we did grandfather that in so that it only applies to gifts made after June 30th of 2013. But I believe this bill was initiated by a constituent that ran into an issue, and it may have been a farmer family where mom or dad passed away and they were surprised to find out that they had to actually bring back gifts that had been made within, in this case, since June 30th of 2013. So this bill would allow the constituents time to plan and obviously for us to get the message out that you do still have to consider gifts that are made within 3 years of death rather than it was kind of a new policy when the legislation was enacted. And it's caught some people evidently by surprise that they have this add back at death.
Well, you probably don't notice until you die.
Mr. Chair, you are entirely correct. And of course, it's the family that gets the message.
Okay, questions for Mr. Nelson? Okay, thank you very much. we will go to the next bill, but as soon as we have a quorum, you don't have to hang around unless you want to. It's the best committee in the House. I will take care of it for you.
Thank you very much, Chair Davids, and I would love to hang around, but the people in GovOps are waiting for me.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank
it's
you,
okay
Mr.
If you
Chair.
Go to a lesser committee. That's fine. Okay, with that being said, we will go on to Chair Earhart. Chair Earhart has, this is kind of like Chair Earhart Day at the Capitol, looks like here. We've got how, Representative Earhart, you have one you'd like to go with first, 924 or 958?
Mr. Chairman, I think we'd go best first with whatever the number is here, 958.
Okay, we'll go with 958. Members, we do have a quorum, and I've just heard from the GovOps chair that my previous comment was not well appreciated, so, but that's tough. Okay, so that being said, I'll officially call the meeting to order of the House Tax Committee. Representative Simonson moves the minutes of February 24th, 2015. Any additions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh. Well, Simonson wasn't here. Oh, he can still move them. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Simonson. Okay, item next, I will move House File 1039 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. We will now go to, I believe, Chair Earhart wanted to go with House File 958 first. We will do that. So, are there any amendments to the bill, Representative Earhart?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there is an amendment.
Is the A1 amendment yours?
It is.
Okay, Representative Earhart moves the A1 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. So we now have House File 958 as amended. And so if you could, now is there anyone, do you have any witnesses on this one, Representative Earhart, that you'd like?
I have my witness is sitting at the front table.
Okay, I think Mr. Michael is our witness, okay, and that's fine. Anyone in the audience that wishes to testify on behalf of or with concerns thereof on House File 958? Does the department wish to testify? Okay. Okay, Representative Earhart, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. We're now finding that the boomers are starting to bump into that time where they got to start thinking about stuff like this, and they're suddenly aware that those fortunes that they've accumulated over their lifetime are in jeopardy of dissolving into nothing but tax payments. So a lot of them are being concerned. Some of them are moving out of the state as they realize that they're going to have to pay an obligation on into into eternity. At any event, what this bill does is phase up the exemption out of the Minnesota estate tax from its current amount, which is $1.2 million, and instead of taking it up at the rate of $200,000 a year till they get to $2 million. What this does is increase it $1 million a year for the number of years it takes to get to $5 million, which is 1, 2, 3 in the fourth year. That in effect brings it in alignment with the current federal estate tax, and as a matter of fact, by that time it's apt to be more than that. So we'll have to keep in size with federal. We will have to probably increase that as time goes on. The rest of the bill really lays out the structure of the changes, and so I don't know, unless there's questions, it's just going to bump it up every year for the next for 15, 16, 17, 18 until it equals the federal, and we'll see what the federal is at that time.
Well, thank you, Representative Earhart, and members, in your package you have, as always, a very good bill summary from House Research, and I think it lays it out pretty clearly there. Again, is there anyone from the audience who wish to testify for or against the bill? Or not against, but with concerns? Questions from members? Chair Carlson?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is maybe more a question of staff, but I'm sitting here after Representative Earhart said, you know, people possibly to avoid the estate tax move out of state. And during my time here many years ago, one of the heirs to the 3M fortune was living in Florida, and there was a major court case. You know, we always hear it's 6 months and a day, I think, is kind of the rule that you have to be a resident of another state, and then you could come back and live the summer here or whatever. But is it more complicated than that, I guess, is my question. I'm trying to recall that because it had some megabucks on the table, and I think somehow the courts ruled that that estate had to be, or tax, or lack thereof, had to be divided between Minnesota and Florida. One of the reasons I remember it was large enough where we got a big bump in the budget when that was finally settled. And I'm talking tens of millions and maybe even broke $100 million. It was one of the founders, you know, of 3M.
Mr. Michael
knows, but I guess the basic question, Mr. Chairman, is it more complicated than the 6 months and a year? Does it involve property that you perhaps own in the state?
Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Carlson, let me back up. It's probably easiest to explain this. In the context of the income tax, there are two tests to determine whether or not you're taxed as a resident under the income tax. The test you're referring to is what's called the physical presence test, and that test says that if you're in Minnesota for any part of a day for more than 183 days, so you know, half of the year plus a day, you're a Minnesota resident for income tax purposes. That's one test. There's a second test that's called the domicile test that basically is a test of intent. Domicile is an old English common law term that says where do you intend to make your permanent home? And that's a separate test that has nothing to do with how many days you're in Minnesota or not. That's an intent test, and some of you have probably heard about this 26-factor rule that the department has. Those are 26 things with some overlap that the department, in an administrative rule, has promulgated that it regards as good evidence of what the taxpayer's intent are. So for income taxes, there are those two different tests. There's the intent or domicile test, and then there's the physical presence test. For estate tax purposes, the physical presence test does not apply. It's purely the intent test that applies. That rule that the department promulgated only relates to the income tax, but the courts and I think the department have generally said we're going to use that same set of factors in determining whether you're domiciled in Minnesota for estate tax purposes. And so the first threshold question for an estate is, was the decedent a Minnesota domiciliary? And if the estate was a Minnesota domiciliary, that means that Minnesota can then tax the intangible property that the estate holds. So things like stocks and bonds and that sort of thing that don't really have a tie to a geographic place. But even if the individual is not a Minnesota resident, so they flunked the domicile test, let's hypothesize that they're a resident of Florida. In that case, Minnesota can still tax the real property that estate held in Minnesota. So if the estate-owned apartment buildings or shopping centers or houses or whatever in Minnesota, that Minnesota still has the legal constitutional right to tax that as part of the estate. And the way that's done is by saying, we'll figure out what you would pay if your total estate was taxable in Minnesota, and then we'll multiply it, and that's, and then we'll multiply it by a fraction. That's your Minnesota property, the Minnesota portion of the gross estate, so it's the total amount before any deductions, over the gross estate federally. And that fraction's multiplied, and that determines what your tax is. So that's a long, complicated answer. And I don't remember the case you're referring to, but it sort of routinely, every year, Minnesota collects a chunk of money from non-resident estates, estates of non-residents, because they own Minnesota real property.
Mr. Chairman, I think what you described there, though, that case that I vaguely remember, it was my early days here, I think that explains it then, why there was some sort of a division. You know, the they claimed that he was a resident of Florida, and I think trying to argue that they should be exempt, and the state of Minnesota said that they had a certain entitlement to tax part of the estate, even though he was living in Florida. So apparently the six-month rule wasn't the question. It was what you've described. So it was more complicated, Mr. Chairman, than what I was initially thinking. Thank you.
Questions for members? Okay. Representative Earhart renews his motion that House File 958, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, Representative Earhart. Representative Earhart moves House File 924. There's an A1 amendment. Is that your amendment, Chair Earhart?
It is my amendment. Actually, Mr. Michael's amendment.
Okay. Mr. Michaels moves the, Representative Earhart moves H092481 to get the bill in shape. The author would like. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Chair Earhart, to House File 924 as amended. And before we get going, actually, is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify for this bill or with concerns thereof? We have someone like to testify for it. Okay. The Department of Revenue? Okay. You're not a resource on this one?
Not a resource.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so Chair Earhart, as amended to your bill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm surprised we found something that the Department of Revenue doesn't know about, so we'd be real slick and push this through in a hurry. Where is he? What this does is, and I learned a new phrase here, UDC, the Unused Deceased Spouse Exclusion Amount. What this does is say if two halves of the spouse are not equally ownership of estate amounts, let's say we have one owning $2 million estate and the other one owning $5 million. At death of the $2 million owner of the estate and with proper notification to all and examination by all, that the balance of that person's, which would be $3 million in this case, could be used by the non-deceased spouse in calculating their estate value. And I think Mr. Let's see if anybody's got any questions.
Okay. Well, why don't we go with testimony first, and then first on the list will be Chair Anderson. Mr. Hickey, if you wanted to join us, please. And this is to the bill before us. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Mike Hickey with the National Federation of Independent Business. Good to see you all again. As you know, we're the largest small business group in terms of entities with 13,000 members, and also the premier small business group in the state. And appreciate all the efforts on all these bills this year. I want to thank Representative Earhart for bringing this bill forward. We played a critical role in getting the small business and the farm carve-out enacted. And certainly thank you again, Mr. Chairman, for somehow getting this done during a government shutdown in 2011. I think that is a seldom known fact around here. But anyways, we really support this bill and appreciate giving people a chance to make this exemption amount portable and hopefully doubling it. There is a little procedure involved. But, you know, without doing this, people need to set up a trust. The most common one is the A and B trust. But some people just simply don't get around to doing it, or a spouse dies unexpectedly, and they're left in a lurch. They cannot combine these exemptions. And so this bill would, hopefully I'm understanding it right. I know we have an amendment pending, but it would allow this to occur in a much easier fashion, I think with minimal effort by the surviving spouse versus having to do what you have to do under the current law. And so this would certainly help people and help keep family traditions and commerce going in small business and farms. And hope you support this bill today, and whatever we do with the estate tax this year, hopefully it's going to be way bigger than this. The portability provision, hopefully, urge you to put that in whatever our final language is also this year. But thanks for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Hickey. Any questions for Mr. Hickey? Thank you, sir. Now back to the bill as amended, House file 924. Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question for Representative Earhart. We've had several different bills that would change the estate tax, and some have suggested that it's only a tax break for the wealthy. Is that what your bill does, or is tell me what your bill does?
Chair Earhart.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Anderson, everyone is going to have an estate, or at least even the smallest estates will be an estate, whether it be only the passing of the rest of the grave lots, you're still going to have an estate. And the larger that estate is, the more the taxes are up to a certain extent of that we relieve that. The federals are at, first of all, between spouses, you can pass as much of your estate you want, but then when we get to passing to children and others, that's recognized not only by the fact that we are giving special looks at certain size small business and also the farms under current law, but that we I've been grading that up, and the feds, this is another non-compliance with feds where we are right now. They're at 5 million plus and some odd change, and are on an escalator, and we need to keep abreast, because you don't have to stay in Minnesota with your estate, for one thing. You can move that to warm weather or the plains of South Dakota and or wherever they don't have an estate tax. Excuse me, I said that wrong. There are some states that do not have an estate tax, and so you're only working on the federal. So, yes, you're going to die and you still owe money if you're not in the right tax bracket. And we're not, and that's now less than 2 million in Minnesota and 5 million in federal.
Chair Anderson.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Earhart. So, this is kind of your effort to try and keep Minnesotans here rather than having them flee to other states. Would that be a correct assessment?
Chair Earhart.
Ma'am, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Anderson, if I could do something about the weather, that would probably help too. But
Chair Anderson. Okay, please state your name and who are some representative for the record, please, sir.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Paul Cummings, and I'm the tax policy manager for the Department of Revenue. I did, my intention today was not to be a resource on this bill or any of the bills that came before it, but I also didn't want to leave the impression that the bill as written, especially 924, was somehow a bill that was easy to administer or understandable. I know in terms of the drafting of the bill, we did reach out to Mr. Michael last night, And I'm looking through the amendment, and I'm trying to see what of the things that we had talked about were resolved. We think a lot of them are drafting issues. My intent today was to try and be a good listener to see what the intent of the committee was, and I'm not sure if the committee is going to decide to make any amendments to our estate tax in the state, but I know that this committee and the department will work together to make sure that whatever is passed is administrable, so I'm confident in that. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to testify, and I'm sorry, it was not my intention to testify in this. Representative Earhart.
Well, Mr. Cummings, you are always a good listener, and you can be assured, and you can tell the commissioner that as we work through these, it has to be administrable by the department, yeah. So we're going to have to sit down and make these things work. Great. So, Representative Garofalo.
Mr. Chairman, I know you've said this before. I just want to know, when is the Dayton administration going to promote this man? This guy's smooth. He can get it done. End of session.
Well, Chair Garofalo,
forget the three leaders of the three crime families. This guy is the one who's going to cut the deal. This guy right here.
Representative Garofalo, I am disappointed in Commissioner Bowerly that he's not at least an assistant at this point, but we're working on that.
All right. I hope that all that talk about pay raises didn't include Mr. Cummins, because he deserves a pay raise. I want to make sure we don't get on record.
I don't have any comment on that.
I'd kind of like to hear it, actually. No, okay. So with that, are there any other questions for members? If not, Chair Earhart renews his motion that House File 924 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Members, I think, in all the excitement and everything, I told Representative Seltzer I'd take care of stuff, and that I don't think I did. So I'll move House File 1039, there were no amendments on that, be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. If I already did it, well, this time I really mean it. Okay, so with that being said, members, I do love the GovOps committee. I just like this one more. So with that being said, is there anything else for the good of the order?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Earhart, for the two bills. So all three bills have been laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. And one thing before everybody takes off here, members, and I ran into this in Chair Schumacher's committee. We had a bill up on taxation of Social Security just a little bit ago here. And some people are expressing concerns, and I understand it, that we'll have a finite amount of money. We have a whole lot of bills and a whole lot of great ideas. And I just want to thank the committee members here, because we could bring up on every bill, well, how are you going to pay for it? And we talked some time ago, we don't want to be doing that, because I want to hear every DFL idea we can. I want to hear every Republican idea we can. Then we will be tasked at the end. I'm not losing any sleep over it yet, but as I've been calculating some numbers, I think we're over $8 billion now. There'll come a day where I will lose some sleep over it. But that's why we get paid the big bucks, members. So we'll put a tax bill together. There will be some disappointment, because a lot of good ideas out there, a lot of things I'd really like to do. And the committee members would like to do, but I really appreciate the committee members allowing us just to hear the bills, and then they'll stand on their merits, and we'll decide as a committee from there where we go. So with that, I appreciate that. Good government all the time. We are adjourned.